Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, our coverage of Nats spring training. Continuing in West Palm Beach, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We are live for the next 3 hours in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 1051. We are, of course, live until 6:30 today and every day on our flagship, and the flagship for the Nats in the DMV, 106.7 The Fan. And joined now by Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball operations. Mike, we have been in the clubhouse the last couple of days. Very, very young group of players who are very pleasant to talk to. And it just seems like all of them very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's, you know, high energy youth and exuberance and high energy and, you know, mix in with a few veterans to kind of guide us through, you know, through how to be a big leaguer, which is a good mix. But, their energy level is terrific. Their work ethic is great. And, they're getting after it. They're happy to be in the big league clubhouse. And a lot of them, it's the first or second time they've been in it. And, there's a good vibe down there. And, it's fun to be around them.
You mentioned vets sort of as that guidepost, right? Guys that have obviously been through this before. There's been different tones over the years. Like, I think of a guy like Jason Worth or some other guys where it's, I don't want to say it feels more like policing, but it did feel that way. It's almost like, you know, the hall monitor in a certain way. These guys, it feels a little bit more, everyone's kind of in it together a little bit. Not that one was bad, or it just feels different in that way.
Yeah, I think that, when you have that veteran-laden team that, been there before, won before, trying to win again. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the vibe back then where it took the wily veteran in the room to kind of focus everybody in on today's agenda and that type of thing. This is, you've got guys that have kind of come up together in the minor leagues. They're in their first big league camp together in the big leagues. Even the big league club last year was a very young team. We're going to be one of the youngest teams in the game in the game again this year. And you can kind of see them growing together. You've got the pack of pitchers, starting pitchers together, the pack of, back end relievers, eating, going to dinner together. And, the young prospect pack is there, so it's fun to see the kind of separations. But when they get in that clubhouse, it's all a melting pot, and it's all they all get along great.
Did you have an expectation at the start of the offseason, like blueprint of what you were hoping your transactions would look like, and how did what you get done reflect that? You end up pretty much with Senzel, Gallo, not a whole lot of additional veterans coming in. Was that kind of the thought going in, or did the market play out in a weird way?
Well, we had a certain milepost to hit, and we felt we did we got the best bang for our buck. We think of Senzel as a guy has a chance to be a big time bounce back player. We've taken this route before with Candelaria and Schwarber and Josh Bell and that group. So we kind of see Joey Gallo and Senzel Denzel, you know, in that vein. Floro, you know, to me is just a good veteran arm that's closed games before in the big leagues, and it'll help the depth of our bullpen. And then we, you know, when we went to non-roster route, and you know, some of those guys are you know, coming off injury plague seasons, but have a history of being, you know, good quality major league players. So you know, we're in here with few positions that are set in stone, and you know, competition is rampant here, and I think competition is good for a young team.
You know, it's one thing, clearly you guys aren't in a place where you're going to spend a lot, but it seems like there's a benefit, if there's a good thing to the roster as it currently is. I don't see anybody really blocking your top bats. So when Wood, Hassel, House, whoever it is ready, Lipscomb, they're going to be able to play. Is that by design, or is that just a nice element to one of the few good things, I guess, to not really getting the checkbook to work with right now?
Well, I think, you know, nobody ever blocks a great player coming up to the big leagues. I mean, you know, you could have as many outfits as you want. When Juan Soto was ready for the big leagues, no one was blocking Juan Soto. You know? So, you know, the same thing with, you know, all the young guys that we've had in the past. So, you know, when players are ready to get to the big leagues and impact the big leagues, and you know, they'll get here, and you know, obviously when they get here, they're gonna be throw them in there every day. So, I think that you know, we never go into this thing with a you know, what can help our team and impact our team. The biggest bang for our buck, you know, for what we have now, and you know, if for some reason, you know, five of these prospects just are not going to allow us to send them out to the minor leagues, then we'll make those, you know, those are good decisions to have to make.
Mike, what does success look like this year?
It's to win baseball games. We're in the winning business, and we haven't done much of it the last couple of years, and we want to win games. That's never changed. All the byproducts of you know, learning how to win, getting reps in the big leagues, that's all good and great in the long term landscape of things. But we want to win games this year, and it's not out of our expectations to expect to go out there and give ourselves a chance to win every day.
Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops for the Nats, on Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach. Joey Gallo has been a 40 home run bat in the big leagues. Obviously not at that point of his career, but what do you think a season looking ahead looks like for him? And is he a trade chip possibly? Is he someone you see hitting a lot of bombs all year long here? What's it look like?
Well, the trade chip possibility is always there. It depends on where we're at the trade deadline. You know what I mean? Where are we? And do we have a couple of chips that'll bring us back, good prospect close to the big leagues that'll help us in the near future? We would always consider that. But you know, if he's having such a great year at the break with Senzel and the rest of the guys we brought in, and we're competing, you know, what's to say that we don't sell at the deadline? But you know, Joey Gallo's been an established player for a long time. I think we know what we got with Joey. I think what's the only thing that's really underrated for him is he's a terrific defender, and nobody talks about that. You know, they talk about the on-base percentage, the power, and the strikeouts, which are pretty much, you know, set in stone with him. He gives you a gold glove caliber guy in the outfield, and he's a heck of a first baseman. He's a great athlete for as big a human being as he is, and I think that you know, that kind of goes under the radar a little bit. But he's fit in here great. He's come in here. He's fired up to be here. He's taking care of his own business, but he's always been good with the young kids and giving them information. So we're happy that he's on board.
He's won two gold gloves in the past.
Yeah.
He has exclusively in camp so far worked at first.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just because you know what he is?
That's where he needs the reps, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're gonna work him on at first. I think that early on in the season, I think you'll see him, be more of a playing more at first base than in the outfield. I think that the reason that he's gotten more reps there right now is because he's got less experience there than he does in the outfield.
I want to ask you about a couple guys, Mike, that have been around but are still young. It's a strange thing. Guys like Juan Soto, who you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. kind of ruined our eye line for everybody. It's like, what do you mean you're not hitting, you know, 40 homers as a 19-year-old. That's like, you know, we get a little bit spoiled. Victor Robles, Luis Garcia, guys that have, you know, been with the club for a while, but I don't want to say haven't necessarily done everything as consistently as you'd like to this point, but still both very young guys. Your approach with those guys this year?
Yeah, but, you know, guys have shown flashes. You know, in 2019, you had a rookie center fielder be a vital part of a world championship club at 19 or 20 years old at the time. So they've both shown flashes of excellence. Their inconsistency has always gotten them, and we want them to be more consistent. We want them to go out there and grab the job by the throat and take it and win it. And you know, when we see that, that, you know, they, you know, they'll have it. And but like I said, there's very few jobs that are set in stone and that are won already. And we're, you know, there's going to be competition at all positions, and I think that's going to be healthy for them. I think it'll raise their game and the people around them.
Robles, 26. Luis Garcia, 23. The one that stands out is, you think of Victor Robles, like he's 29. He's been around forever. But to your point, both of those guys, Danny, sub 27 years old. Big year for a few of your prospects turned now established major leaguers. K-Bert Ruiz, really came forward with power, hitting last year. The metrics defensively, framing and otherwise, were not good. But I've seen he's on one knee. You guys are working with him. He's closer to the plate. A lot of the things that are happening in the game now from a receiving standpoint, you guys are really harping on with him. What have you seen so far? And what's the emphasis on that? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, defensively, he realized he wants to improve. I think that early on in his career with us, when we first got him, he threw the ball much better to second base. I think that the wear and tear of the position, you know, causes that to change over the year, and you have to work on it constantly through the season. I think that a real focus that we put on him last year, the onus of handling this young pitching staff and game calling and strategy and advanced scouting and that type of thing were things that we felt he came a long way with last year. Offensively, you know, he's got a good eye at the plate. He's, you know, very few swings and misses, doesn't strike out much, and employed some power last year into his game. So, you know, when you get a catcher who catches, I think he was one of the leaders in games caught last year. And you know, so you have a durable guy that's always available, that wants to play, that can hit you 20, 25 home runs behind the plate and as a switch hitter. I think it's an extremely valuable guy and came a long way with his game calling last year. If he takes another step in the right direction defensively with some pitch framing and his throwing mechanics, I think that you know, you got yourself a guy that's going to be kind of a rock behind the plate for handling a very young pitching staff.
You mentioned pitching staff next steps. Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, obviously both have shown some signs. I mean, you know, Gray's an all-star last year, for goodness sakes. Next step for those guys, kind of growth-wise, what do you want to see from them, some metrics, milestones, and your approach for them this year?
Just consistency. They're working extremely hard in pitch shapes and pitch mix and that type of thing. They're both very analytically savvy, so you know they're always in the film room and they're always at the analytic lab and that type of thing. So I think that the next step with them is consistency, durability, strike throwing, quality strikes, and I think that the sky's the limit for both of those guys because their stuff and their makeup is of the ilk of those guys who are front of the rotation guys on championship clubs.
What's the balance of that for you? Like if a guy throws a pitch and he runs over and is like, what was the spin rate on that particular slider in the RPMs? Or, you know, I mean, like how much of that do you want versus how much of that is, hey, you still got to go out and do it?
Hey, it's, you know, you be you. It's whatever works, whatever it takes to get you to where you need to be, is it works with me. Mm-hmm. We've got a bevy of intelligent analytical people. We've got good pitching coaches. We've got good analytical guys. And now with Doolittle, you know, kind of being the conduit between them. So we've got good communication, and we're kind of synced up on how to gather information and how to filter information and how to deliver information. And I think that that'll be a big step in a lot of progressions, including those two. But that list will be very, very long.
Gray and Gore both off to really good starts in the spring. Gray last year thrived with hard hit rate, not having been an issue, 66th percentile, and then Mackenzie Gore, obviously the swing and miss, and the whiff percentage is really good. You mentioned Doolittle. This is one of my favorite little developments of the offseason, but I think it's a big deal. It doesn't get talked about a lot. That conduit between the player and the staff and the ability to bridge analytics. And I feel like you guys have had the tech maybe, and people act like you guys are like using stopwatches and yet you've never had TrackMan and stuff from the outside. And I'm out there yesterday. You got Hawkeye on your backfields and whatnot. But now you've got a guy who can take it from Hickey to the players and maybe bridge gaps. Am I wrong in saying like Doolittle's going to be a massive part of this operation now and helping with the next wave of pitching development?
I think he's important. He was an important hire. It was to me, when he announced his retirement, we immediately discussed it at his retirement announcement party. So, we talked.
Congratulations!
About it.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere.
What do you think? You know, congratulations. What are you thinking? What are you going to do? And often, you know, guys who have played in the big leagues, 10 years or more, like he has, they like to take a year or two off, and because they've made enough money, and take a year or two off before they figure out what they want to do. But he was, he's a DC resident, and he wants to stay. He's going to stay here. He was staying here regardless, and felt that it was something that was kind of an easy match, matchmaking a system with it. Hickey loved him, Davey loved him already. I loved him, and he has, he's close enough to pitching age to really know those guys. He played with a couple of the guys, and I think that he walks in there with respect a credible voice, and he's gone through a lot of things in his career, which I think even broadens him even more. You know what I mean? That he came in as a prospect as a hitter. He got injured, couldn't do that anymore. A lot of people would have been done by then. At that time, he goes on the mound, becomes a pitcher. He's pitching in World Series and All-Star games and that type of thing, and reinvented himself during that time. And the last couple of years been on the DL, was down here a long time down here. And you know how it is here in that grind of, June, July, and August, when you're one of the only people down here. You've played in the big leagues for 10, 11 years, and you're down here trying to get through with it, trying to get back to the big leagues. So he knows that grind. He's got the mental, the physical, and the spiritual knowledge that it takes to excel in the big leagues. And I think that, his main asset to me was that he's analytical to the point where he's really, really smart, but he also knows how to filter it and distribute it in a way that players really receive it well.
Mike Rizzo at West Palm Beach giving us a few minutes here. Outlook on the 2024 Nationals. One of the big stories is that the kids are balling. They're playing really well, obviously early in camp. Does James Wood have a chance to be on the opening day roster?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anybody doesn't have a chance. They've got to kick the door down and force us to put them on the team and win the job. That's it. We want to take the best guys forward. It's not the it's not the best future guys. It's the best guys right now, it's got to make sense for his development. But if any of those guys are ready to go, we've shown no apprehension to bring guys to the big leagues. We've brought more 19-year-old players to the big leagues probably than anybody in the league.
True. There's also now the opportunity, and I didn't think it would happen often, but 2 years ago Julio Rodriguez won the Rookie of the Year and the Mariners got a first-round pick. This past year, Gunnar Rodriguez won the Rookie of the Year, and the Orioles are getting a first-round pick. And for people that don't know, if you have a top 50-ish prospect and they're on the opening day roster from day one on and they win Rookie of the Year, you're gifted a draft pick. Does that in any way affect how you would consider the decision for him?
You know, I don't. It's not going to impact my decision. My decision is what's best for the player and for the team and the player long term. And that's, you know, to me, that's always my thing that I think about. And it's getting ready for the big leagues. When you're ready for the big leagues, everyone will know it. We'll know it, and we'll bring it to the big leagues. That's just the way we've always done it.
Mike, give me a guy or two that you think is in for a monster campaign.
You know, we've got plenty of guys on that big league team that that are going to take the next step. You take the next step if CJ takes the next step. You know, what does he become? If Gore gets to where he can be, you know, his stuff left hand is as good as stuff as anybody we've seen in the big leagues, and it's as good as anybody's. Now, when he gets honed in and throws more strikes and more quality pitches and goes deeper into games, you know, the training wheels are off for those guys now, so they can go deep into games and deep into the season and pitch deep innings. So that's a big step for all those guys. And JoJo is taking two great big steps forward, and if he continues to do that, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be really good for us. But who's to say? You know, who's to say who's going to jump out this year? Lane Thomas appeared, jumped out, a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and nobody knew his name until now. He was an all-star caliber player last year, and we're looking forward to seeing those guys emerge, our young guys emerge at the minor league level, and then kind of filtering those guys up, into the big leagues to impact the big league team at a crucial time in our rebuild.
It's back-to-back Nationals Player of the Year, Lane Thomas, that you're talking about. Who you got for John Lester? Does Mozeliak still answer the phone when you call, or?
Yeah, he's made a lot of good trades too, and it's always good to get what you need at the time, and sometimes at the time doesn't bode well for the future.
Sure, a couple of moments, the quick things left. Has the system? You guys had a run where you go Bryce, Rendon, Soto, you're just bringing one star up after another, but I don't ever remember the depth of the system from a hitting standpoint like it is right now. Maybe pitching's a little further along, especially with Cade and Sakura and Brixey and some of the injuries you guys are dealing with. But from a bat standpoint, have you been this deep really at any point since you've been here in terms of layering?
No, I think we're as deep and well defined and toolsy as we've ever been. It's the best group of minor league prospects that we've ever had. But we've never come in last place for 4 years in a row and get high picks and a lot of international money and that type of thing. We traded away a lot of good players to get these good minor league prospects and we're just waiting for the next wave of those guys to come and to get on another 8 to 10 year run of excellence. That's our goal. Nobody wants these long rebuilds and that type of thing. I certainly don't. And so we think that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think that our improvement last year was vast. I think we played a lot better baseball. Credit to Davey for polishing that, the way we played the game up. Now you're seeing some young players get to the big leagues, and we talk about these top 100 prospect lists all the time. And C.J. Abrams is younger than 80% of the guys on those lists still, and he's already got almost a year and a half of big league time in. So that's where we think we're at. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've got a plan in place, and the fan base has been inviting and supportive and that type of thing. But nobody's up for one of these long-term rebuilds.
Last thing, you may have known this for a while. We just found out. Mark Lerner came out and said that the Lerners are not selling the team. Mm-hmm. Does that help you? Does that change anything from being in flux, or is that something you knew for a long time?
No, it's business as usual. It was business as usual when the team was quote unquote up for sale, and now it's same business as usual when they say that they're holding on to the team. So I always plan on the Lerner family being the owners. That's how we always reacted and responded, so nothing's changed in that regard.
You guys are making our trip well worth it. We appreciate all the hospitality. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mike.
Pleasure, always.
General Manager and President of Baseball Ops for the Nats, Mike Rizzo, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Our double play is coming up at 3:45. We are blitzing at 4. There's some non-Nats news to get into, including a loss in the sports reporting world yesterday that we've got to discuss, and massive Capitals news with Evgeny Kuznetsov over the weekend. You're listening to G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
G&D on The Fan in West Palm Beach. National spring training coverage is presented on The Fan by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thank you to Mike Rizzo for making himself available and giving us so much time. The Nats just wrapped up their spring training tilt today, a 1-0 shutout win. Here's some good news. We'll be talking to the top two prospects that everybody in baseball is raving about on this team on the show today. Dylan Cruz is going to join us, who just came in late innings and finished the game for the Nationals off the bench. He, of course, was the number 2 overall pick out of LSU and is one of the top 5 prospects in all of baseball. He'll be with us at 4:25, coming up after the Blitz next hour. And then the big fella that everybody's talking about, James Wood, will be with us today on Grant and Danny right at about 5:40. So make sure you're listening at that time. I've talked to James a couple times, Danny. He's very young. He's 21 years old.
21-year-old kid.
He is such a good kid. I hate calling people kids, but he's literally 14 years younger than me.
Yeah, he's much closer to my son's age than mine.
That's hilarious to think about.
You know?
My daughter, Reagan, turns 5 in March. She is about 16 years from him.
Uh-huh.
And he is, for me, about 15. So he's smack dab in the
middle. It's real close, isn't it?
That's crazy, and wow, am I old.
Yep.
But, he's just very unassuming, one of the quietest guys ever. Now, we need to talk to him about baseball stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's the talk of the camp. He's been their best player. He might make the big leagues. I'm just going to tell you in advance, he does not love necessarily talking about the baseball stuff as much as some of the other stuff. But we'll have to get into football and some other things I know he'll want to chop it up on. But James Wood on the show today, 5 o'clock hour. Dylan Cruz coming up at about 4:25 right here on The Fan. I mentioned going to break. Chris Mortensen passed away.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
The pieces that they did, what do you call what is like a video version of an obituary? The SportsCenter did an amazing one last night that I watched. It was narrated by Shefty. I can't imagine they put it all together yesterday. Maybe they did. But I think something like that you've been working on or probably have in queue. But, man, did it have me in my feels. And you forget, going back to like 2016, when he was dealing with chemo and some of the cancer at the time, how just different he looked and how much he had to overcome and how much he was battling. But here we are. It's 2024.
Yep.
John Clayton is no longer with us, and neither is Chris Mortensen. That is my entire childhood of watching NFL reporting.
You said it. I mean, I think he started at ESPN in the early 90s. I want to say 91, 92, something like that. And I talked about this several times, just sort of in different contexts, but players for teams come and go, right? The guys that are playing center field or playing the shooting guard spot or the right guard or whatever, those guys change. A lot of times the guys that bring you the sports kind of become the constants. So, you know, for so long, to me, basketball here in Washington, D.C. was Steve Buck, Hanson, Phil Chenier, right? Baseball's Charlie and Dave. You know, and Bob Carpenter and company. And you think about, you know, Sonny, Sam, and Frank with all the nostalgia for the Redskins. And Mortensen was kind of the national guy to me. Part of that group, you know, it's when I think of football before we had access to every play of every game, before everybody on Twitter was a film junkie and could tell you, you know, the timing of this drop and the timing of you know, what he did with his eye discipline, this, that, and the other thing. It used to be, if you wanted to know what the hell went on, you had to shut up and wait for Mort to talk. On those countdown shows, it's Tom Jackson, it's Chris Berman. You know, it's those kinds of formative things where he was a constant as the league changed and the players changed. So it's a bummer, man. What a career, what a life.
Yeah, tragic that, you know, another of really just the great pillars of why you love the league is gone. So thinking about his family, that was tough to see yesterday. Other disappointing news, very, very different scale. But as a sports fan in Washington, D.C., over the weekend we found out, Danny, that Yevgeny Kuznetsov's days as a Capital are numbered and may have expired. So the news came out initially that the team was waiving Yevgeny Kuznetsov when he was out of the league program to help him with some of the issues he's been having off the ice. Here's where we're at now. He was placed on waivers. Nobody claimed him. We knew they wouldn't. He's got a big cap number for next year. And to be completely honest, he's been a really bad player analytically for two seasons. I mean, legitimately, like, one of the worst high-paid players in the entire National Hockey League since the beginning of last season from a metrics standpoint. And the league is really trending toward the analytics. So you're just not going to have that many teams vying for his services. Here's the way I read this. I was told they're going to chop him. They have until Friday's trade deadline. They're going to do what they can to try to move him this week. And that means probably having to take on money. They may have to eat some of the salary. You know, they actually now have some space where they could do that because, you know, you can get cute with the Nicklas Backstrom situation where Backe obviously is not retired but is not with the team. So if they wanted to take on some money and get out of Kuznetsov, maybe you could if somebody just wants to take a flyer if it didn't cost a whole lot. If that doesn't happen, though, it gets kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because Brian McClellan, the general manager of the team, has a press conference where he says he needs a fresh start. He's basically talking in the past tense. He's talking about why it hasn't worked and won't work here and why Kuzi needs to go somewhere else and see what's what, essentially, and, you know, whatever else is going on. Well, okay, that's fine. Except that, what if Yevgeny Kuznetsov doesn't find a trade partner? And he's in Hershey right now. You're just keeping him with the Hershey Bears for the remainder of this season? Okay, and then you go into the offseason and what happens. So it kind of felt like that press conference was the end of the road, but he's still in the org, and unless someone comes and takes him away, he's going to be here.
Yeah, it's peculiar. I wonder if there are mechanisms where the Caps would have to eat most of the money, and then still just he would be on another roster somehow. I don't know what kind of machinations are available to them here, Jeeps. But you said it. I mean, I've kind of been – and I'm not doing a tap dance saying that I'm right or – you know, people, they should have listened to me. They probably shouldn't have in a million situations. But this sounded like the end of the rope, right? We're talking about the organization, McClellan and company, as you said, very much past tense. A lot of fans, and I know I was included in this group, were just over this guy for a while, not knowing, you know, sort of the extent of what was happening, maybe off the ice, just in terms of the play and waiting around for him to live up to that really lofty contract. And just, you kind of got sick of that. And there was a missed opportunity, maybe, to move on from him. Well, he might have still had some value. Now, again, we're talking, this is trivial compared to him getting his life back together, obviously with that understanding, but his value's never been lower at this stage, you know, and there's not much you're getting for him. I don't know how this is going to work, but as you said, it is something that is very much worth watching in terms of him and the end of his time here. He'll always be remembered rightfully for being the hero. He scored that goal against Pittsburgh, man. Forever immortalized, as far as I'm concerned. He scored that goal against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's one of those highlights where every time I see it, you're right back to that moment, and it's just sheer joy, exuberance. It's the best.
Getting by those guys meant so much.
Yeah, 2018, we will always have Kuzi against the Pens, Game 6, ending Round 2 in the drought of the Eastern Conference Final. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play coming up at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We got a lot of options to choose from, frankly, as we've been traveling around and have had all kinds of fun here in West Palm Beach. Dylan Cruz at 4:25 and James Wood at 5:40, the two best players in the Nats system, both of whom have turned heads out here over the last few days at spring training. You're listening to the Fan. Our coverage of Nats spring training on Grant and Danny, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. The show is live today on the Fan. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condorey and Murad, the official show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, your will, your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Danny, we are enjoying ourselves in West Palm Beach. So far, if you're curious, I don't think anybody's gotten in the pool yet, or did Clary get in?
Ryan claimed he went in yesterday. Is that what you said?
That's true. You did jump in, but you said it was too cold and you got out immediately.
Yeah, so I did jump in yesterday, but I immediately got out because it was very cold in the deep end. I'm more of a shallow end kind of guy, but even then, that was a little too cold for me.
I don't think there are shallow and deep, are there? It's pretty much
One side's a little deeper.
Okay. And so as you kind of get down there, your feet are a little colder than typical. So
you've had a good trip so far. Yeah. You've eaten a lot of chocolate chip cookies, I would say.
I've eaten the most chocolate chip cookies on this trip by far.
Wow.
A lot of that.
Competition.
I will say for a 24-year-old, and I love Ryan Clary, man, does he hit a wall at about 11:15 at night. I've never seen anything like it. Each of the last two nights, we've been in the middle of conversations with people. Literally, Dave Jagler, just radio voice, everybody's favorite broadcaster. Last night, we were talking to one of the guys on the beat out here, our buddy Bobby Blanco from Masson. And we're literally having a conversation, just, you know how you have a discussion where you
make a point, next person does.
And Ryan will just kind of like bull in a china shop his way, and he'll be like, should we go back to the house? It's getting kind of late.
I mean, here's my thing about this. I'm a morning guy. I am at my best in the morning when I have a cup of coffee right there, doing whatever I need, maybe a little breakfast bar as well. That is when I'm at my best. I'm not really a late night kind of guy.
Not a Nate guy.
By the way, I liked it. Grant's caricature is a little bit Seth Rogen-y. Well, did you notice that?
For some reason, the way he did it last night.
Yeah, just pulling in. Yeah.
You were still in the air because you never got here last night. But Darius,
that was George Clooney.
You'll remember this. It was just very like abrupt, kind of gravelly, and Ryan was like, we're good, right? We can get out of here. Let's pay the tab. And it was just 0 to 100. I think that's what's interesting to me, is it's never like what about like 15, 20 minutes?
Hey, guys, ready? Pretty soon?
It's just like, I just hit a wall. The rest of you can come with me.
So relatable, by the way.
It's time.
Ryan, I get it.
He's like, I hope you guys are done, but we're done.
Yeah, like the other night when he basically said, Dave, you're boring me. I'm ready to go home. And it's just like, wow, we're just enjoying great conversation with one of the better broadcasters here in D.C., and Ryan had no interest anymore.
I was enjoying the conversation. It was just the fact that, someone had to wake up at 5 a.m. that next morning. Someone also didn't go to bed until 1:45 a.m. that morning. Breaking news, that was me. I did not go to bed until 1:40.
You didn't have to wake up at 5.
But I did. I chose to because, again, I'm a morning person who has to get things done in the morning. I had to get laundry done. I had to get pack my suitcase. I had to get all the different things. I had to clip my nails. I had to clip my toenails. Well, do all the different things to get ready for West Palm Beach.
You need to apply toothpaste to your neck.
Apply toothpaste to my neck.
That's a great bit.
That's a great bit. Any thoughts on that?
The toothpaste bit?
Yeah. Why does he need to do that?
Well, he's got a So
who's the Nats pitching coach?
Jim. Oh, what is it? Mark. It's not Jim. It's when somebody on your neck. What's it called? Anyway.
Brian's got an interesting red mark on his neck that he claims is from sleeping funny.
Claims.
Now, it's a purple mark to me, and I don't know a lot about it.
I've seen it done.
It looks like a suction mark.
Yeah.
It almost looks like, have you ever been, like, had cupping done on your back?
Yeah.
So it was as if they cupped the side of his neck.
But it was a tiny cup.
Very small.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like the shape of lips.
Yeah, we were watching the Knicks game last night, and Dante DiVincenzo, he had the
cupping.
Purple mark. Yeah, the cupping marks all over him.
Right.
So it looks like
Oh, did he sleep funny too?
Right on his neck, and I Ryan told us he slept funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, like with an
elbow? I suppose you did sleep funny.
With an elbow in your neck, or I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I mean, the plane has some weird positions where you have to sleep. So
sleep
I think
funny,
being there for two and a half hours, and really that runway was also pretty long.
But this is the thing, though. You had that mark on your neck before we got on the plane.
During boarding.
Mm-mm. No, we did not.
How many people have acknowledged it? And how many people have you noticed are looking at it without acknowledging it?
Well, we'll kind of open up the curtains here. So we've been in the clubhouse a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I've noticed just about every single player kind of look down, not really make an eye contact with me. I don't know what they're looking at. They probably noticed that mark where I slept a little weirdly. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not going to name any names. Earlier today, Ryan walks over and talks to a Nationals player.
Yeah.
There's a group of four guys standing to Ryan's left about 5 to 11 feet.
Did they
away.
Notice the pitching coach?
Okay.
Jim Hickey?
So they're in a group, and they're facing happened to be in the direction where you could see Ryan's Jim Hickey. Okay? And one of them goes with a little point and turns to the other, and then the guy goes, "Oh!" like that, because he saw it, then everybody saw it. It was the talk of that side of the locker room in the clubhouse while you were talking to one of the players.
What were you doing with the spoon?
Just trying to ice myself, just like it's like an athlete does when they're sore. I tried to ice my neck a little bit. My neck was sore after sleeping in.
But you have you ever iced yourself with a spoon?
So
he was walking.
Yeah.
You have?
No.
Okay. He's walking around the house with a cold spoon pressed
cold
against
spoon.
His neck.
How'd you make the spoon cold?
I just put it in the freezer.
Wow.
And he claimed it will get rid of – it's not Darnell Coles on his neck. It's Jim Hickey.
Yeah. Well, one of the Nationals a player. Said he has heard that applying toothpaste directly to the wound can be helpful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to give that a shot?
I might. It's not a Jim Hickey, but, like, maybe it will help this bruise. It will.
Your claim is that the bruise is from what? The bruise that looks just like a Jim Hickey.
I believe it's from a plane. From the plane. Sleeping on it a little bit funny. I was kind of laying back there.
So just right in the middle of your neck. It looks small. Like what? If I was to put my lips on your neck and suck really hard for a while, it would look exactly like what that is. And you got
People a visual, yeah.
Yeah, and you got that on the plane.
Allegedly.
Where did you remember your seat number on the plane?
24A.
24A. Well, that's on the left side.
That is?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what were you leaning on the left side that would have done that?
Well, right I was leaning on, like, the seat, you know, when you can kind of push the seat back a little bit. Hmm. And it's like I'm a little taller, so it kind of leans back on my neck a little bit.
Interesting.
Up there where it's a little high. Where?
Oh, I see.
All right, follow me for a second.
It'd be tough to get to from that. It'd be easier to get to for, like, a person.
Can I cross-examine, Captain?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
When is the last time you hung out with anyone that you were kissing?
Wow.
Someone within the last week, I'd say.
You are under oath.
Within the last week.
Within the last week.
Oh, how recently?
Maybe Thursday night.
Oh.
All right.
Is there anything else?
I think I'm in a good case.
The prosecution rests.
Okay.
Injured it on a plane. Injured, he called
injured
it.
Injured on
it
the on plane. A plane.
That's my call.
But anyway, toothpaste. Right.
Spoon. Push a cold spoon against
with it. Some toothpaste on the spoon, maybe. I don't know.
But nobody – good for him. Nobody's brought it up to us while we were here. Several people.
Several people. Have.
Several people.
So many people.
I do feel bad.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's not fun.
Do you
it's
feel bad
fun.
About all no. the waitresses that you've asked? At the very
well, no, yeah. that I don't feel bad about. Okay. We're playing a game with waitresses called Hickey or Ringworm.
Yep. It's a great game. You can play anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Hickey or Ringworm.
Can we quickly talk about the bit where Ryan was trying to record his Locked On and you guys interrupted him every 5 minutes or so?
I think we should talk about that, but I think we got a lot of runway in front of us. Still got a couple more shows. We don't need to shoot all our bullets right now.
It is a great troll.
It's been a good time.
I was guffawing in the vehicle hearing about that one.
That was very good.
Old Meyer Manor Clary got ticked off.
The Beltway Blitz comes your way next on G&D. Remember, Dylan Cruz, 4 o'clock hour. James Wood, 5 o'clock hour. At 5 o'clock, I do want to get into the Commanders roster after some of the big decisions they made last week and where their biggest positions of need are going to be. We're a week out from free agency, people. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.